Welcome to GoPro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional by Eric Ward. You are now listening to CD 8, which is titled Leadership Secrets.
Okay. Wow, we have made it. I wonder how many people skip to CD number 8 to see if there's any secrets. Probably not that many. Let's give one quick round of applause for the people who made it this far. Well done. You know, 90% of the people who buy a book never read one chapter of it. Did you know that? They've done studies on the people who buy audio programs. Most of the time, they're never opened. Then they'll listen to maybe one CD and they'll get distracted by life. But the group of people that have gone through 8 CDs, been through this journey with us for 8 hours, just going, oh my gosh. Those people are special. Those people, it tells me just the fact that they've gone through it. Just like the fact that you guys have been through this experience with me, it tells me that they have something special. It should let them know that they've got all that it takes in order to be able to go all the way to the top, even if it doesn't seem like it right this minute. The fact that they're still listening and they're ready to apply what they've learned is enough. And I know that this group of people, as soon as they're done with number 8, they're going to go right back to number 1 and say, okay, remind me one more time why network marketing is the greatest way to work and live that exists on this planet. So that's going to be fun to be able to, you know, what's fun for me is to just imagine that I'm sitting in the back of your car and I'm whispering in your ear, hey. Not that kind of hey. You guys are bad, man. It's getting late. They're getting punchy around here. Pump in some more oxygen into this room. But I could say, hey, you have more inside of you. You've got more than you can do. You've got more that you're meant for. The world is waiting for you to show up and become the leader that we know that you are. And we're going to tell you that over and over and over. So it's going to be fun to ride around in the car with you long after this day is over. That's the fun part of what we get to do. So this last subject, I'm going to go through a lot of information and I might go a little bit longer than an hour, but not much longer than an hour. We want to talk about leadership. We want to talk about your ability to build a large organization. Because that's what it takes. There's one skill set to sell your products and services. That's fine. Check that off. There's another skill set to recruit somebody. The world's full of people who could recruit somebody and didn't have an organization to account for it. People who brought in 20 people and said, why didn't those 20 bring in 20? I don't get it. Leadership. It takes leadership to pass the baton. It takes leadership to learn not only how to lead an organization, but to teach them how to become leaders themselves. That's a skill that just has not been taught in any environment that I'm aware of outside of our business. How to truly nurture and develop another person to become a leader that's as strong or stronger than you, and then teach them how to develop the next generation and lead them into a place where they're stronger than you. Most people are too threatened for that. But not here. 3 different kinds of people in this world. Group number 1 are the pessimists. And the pessimist says, given enough time, are things going to get better or worse? Worse. If this is where we are today, they think, oh, it's probably going to go down to here. It's going to get worse. And for them, in their reality, how often are they right? A lot of the time they create this reality. And you know what? They're proud of it. Told you. Told you the economy was going down. Told you I was going to lose my job. Told you my marriage wasn't going to hold together. Told you I was going to lose weight or gain weight. Told you. Told you our market was going to fall apart. Told you. They love it. It's just kind of, it's part of their brand. Oh, you other people. They think they're cool about it. That's the pessimist. Second group, big group, are the realists. Yeah. I'm not one of them pessimists. I can see the world as it is. I'm a realist. I'm not those crazy optimists either. Those people are ridiculous. I'm a realist. And here's what a realist does. To a realist, you know what's really important to a realist? That they don't look bad. Their ego is huge to a realist. They never want to be wrong. It's so important for them to be right. They never want to be called out. They never want to be embarrassed. The realist has this cloak of, please respect me. That's what the realist has. So you know what the realist does? They set very minimal goals because they're petrified that they'll miss one. They'll set their goal here. And how many times does the realist hit their goal? Almost all the time. I mean, if they ever miss one, they'll drop the next goal even lower. They'll bring it way down. So it's impossible not to win. Okay? That's the realist. Then there's a third group. I don't like calling them optimists. I call them visionaries. The visionaries. These people are insane. They're crazy people. They're not reasonable at all. They don't pay attention to any of the rules. They don't follow any of the stuff. They don't care what other people think of them. Weirdos. And they say, this is where I am today. I'm going here. Watch my smoke. They haven't done anything yet, but I'm going there. Right? Now, how many times does a visionary reach their goal? Almost never. Almost never. They say this crazy stuff. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get to this next rank, and I'm going to build the biggest team in our country, and I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And everybody goes, yeah. And then afterwards, you know, like they don't quite get there, but they get there. You see that? They get there. They don't get to their goal, but they get there. So on pure results, just on results, if you're measuring results, would you rather have the results of the pessimist, the realist, or the visionary? Just pure results. Visionary. Sounds good, right? It's not easy. Hardest thing in the world to be a visionary. In today's society, you know why? 95% of the people are over here. 5% of the people or less are in the visionary category. Do you know what happens? You know what these 95% like to do? Point at the things you didn't do. Missed your goal. Ha ha ha. Said you're going to do that thing. Missed it, didn't you? Said you're going to get to that rank. Where's your millions, Mr. Millionaire? How you doing, Mrs. Millionaire? Neener, neener. And they'll spend all of their time focused on the things that you didn't do, that you said you would. And you're saying, what's your word worth? Nothing. My word's worth something, says the realist. My word's worth something, says the pessimist. Visionary says, I don't want to be known as the guy who's not good for his word. How do I handle this? What do I do? Do I stay with these crazy, outrageous, ridiculous, unbelievable, unrealistic, unreasonable goals that I'm telling the world all the time and they're snickering and laughing at me? Or do I just get a little reasonable? Here's what happens. The visionary that says, all right. 95 out of 100 are giving me crap. I get it. All right. I'm not going to say we're going to have 2,000 people at our next event. I'll say we're only going to have 1,000. Okay. They backed their goal down to this. And then did they hit that goal? No. They hit here. The 95% say, you see, your word's still worth nothing. Your word's still worth nothing. You didn't get your goal there either. You say, well, God, I hate people making fun of me. I hate them laughing at me. So I guess I'll just bring it down here next time. Do they hit that? No. But they hit here. 95% still poke fun at them. Tell them that they're worthless. Tell them that their word means nothing. Tell them that they're failing. And know what? Unless you have incredible courage, you know what your next step is? Become a realist. Become a realist with the other 95% and say, okay, I'm just going to try and recruit one person a month and I hope to see what happens. And if you stay a realist long enough, guess where you're going? You're going to become a pessimist. And you're going to say, you know what? Maybe this life isn't worth pushing like you should push. I tried. I went to the mountain and they beat me down. Now, sounds sexy to be a visionary, doesn't it? At the beginning it does. Let's judge the results. Where do you want to be? Visionary. Yeah, that's the only place to be. Until everybody in the world saying that you can't live up to what your words are saying. Everybody's poking fun at you. Arthur Schopenhauer said, all truth goes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it's accepted as self-evident. That's where all truth goes. And guess what every great leader in the world has had to face was this dilemma. What do I do when 95% of the world are lined up against me? When they're reminding me every day of my failures, how do I stay strong? That's where your reasons come in. You say you want to be a leader? Really? Okay. This is the price of entry. The price of entry says part of it's going to be a little bit more lonely than you think at the beginning. And then you'll gather a group of like-minded people that'll support you. But you got to stand strong, because if you falter at any step along this way, you're on your road to realism and then pessimism. Take a look at all great leaders. Mahatma Gandhi. What did he have to say in order to be able to create this vision for his people? How unreasonable was that? Nelson Mandela. How unreasonable was that? Winston Churchill, how unreasonable was that? Martin Luther King Jr., how unreasonable was that in the face of how much hostility? How unreasonable was that? You know what the call of every leader in the world is? In its essence, there is a promised land, and we can get there together. Every leader that I have ever known, there's a promised land, and we can get there together. And for you to be strong enough to be able to withstand these negative and pessimistic forces that will drip on you, you're going to have to say, you know what? There's a promised land and we can get there together, and it's okay that you don't see it today, and it's all right that I didn't achieve my dream this moment, but we're going to get there. Maybe in my lifetime, maybe not for many of these leaders, but we're going to get there. This is our dream. This is where we're going, and we won't be stopped. Do you understand? This is some serious stuff that I'm talking about right now. The difference between pessimist, realist, and visionary is real, and it's hard. I had a guy come up to me after I was in the business for 3 years. And he said, Eric, all this crazy talk is not serving you. You know, you say you're going to do this, and you're going to recruit X number of people, and you're going to make this amount of money, and you're going to do all this stuff, and you never hit any of these goals, and everybody's laughing. They're adding Eric math to it every time, which means divide by two and divide by two again, and then maybe you're getting in the range. Eric math. Classic talk of the realist and the pessimist. And he pulled me aside and said, this is not serving you. You got to get better with this. And you know what? He almost got me. It was this close till I realized he had a paper route. And he was 60. And I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to be reasonable. I'm going to be unreasonable. I heard a quote later. I don't even know who said it. But the reasonable man, the reasonable woman, conforms to the world around them. The unreasonable one asks the world to conform to their point of view. Therefore, all progress in this world is dependent on the unreasonable person. Fair enough. Put me in that group. One of those crazy network marketers. The reasonable person conforms to the world around them. The unreasonable person asks the world to conform to their point of view. I have a dream. So therefore, all progress in this world is dependent on the unreasonable person. Otherwise, there is no progress. So what do we want to do? We want to take the network marketing profession and make it a worldwide phenomenon, a true profession, not just a project. A true profession of real professionals, not just a deal. That's what I want to work with a group of people wanting to do the same thing. That's the promised land for me, that we can find a place together, raise the awareness of what we do, help other people escape from the matrix. That's what I want to do. So my hope, as we start this, is that you're willing to be unreasonable. You're willing to be outrageous. You're willing to put yourself on the line with crazy, outrageous, unbelievable, over-the-top goals. And you tell the world what they are. And you let your group know there's a promised land and we can get there together, no matter what anybody says. Let the pessimists and realists live by themselves. We're a different group. We're going to go to another level. Okay? So how many are ready to step into visionary? Okay. Okay. All right. This is big. I hope you mean it. Because it matters. Okay, wow, I've got to go. Let me give you the formula for financial independence inside of network marketing. This is what all leaders need to know. Your ability. Your ability to get a large group of people. Your ability to get a large group of people to do a few simple things over a consistent period of time. Your ability to get a large group to do a couple things over a consistent period of time. One of the dangerous phrases in our business is, if it is to be, it's up to me. No. If it is to be, it's up to a large group of people doing a few simple things over a consistent period of time. If it has to be up to you, then you're going to kill yourself because you can't keep all this in your control. You can't keep it all inside your grasp. My first 3 years in network marketing, I rebuilt my organization 7 times from zero. So if you're less than 7, count yourself on track. It's going to be fine. 7 times. Built it, lost it. Built it, lost it. Built it, lost it. Built it, lost it. Then through the power of third party, and the power of building a core system, and the power of culture building, I learned this formula. What can I get a large group of people to do? What simple things that can they add to their life? And they can actually do, really, over a consistent period of time. I wonder. If we use tools, can I get them to do 2 tools a day? I wonder. 2 exposures a day. Could I build that into the culture? I wonder. Maybe I could. Could the average part-time person do that? Yeah. Could I get somebody to share the product on a daily basis? Yeah, I'd probably do that. Could I get them to attend an event once a month or once a week in their market, depending on what the market was? Well, probably. And every company in here is going to have a different core system. So forget about what I'm talking about here specifically. Think about what's core inside of your organization and say, what are the few simple things I'm going to get my organization to do on a regular basis? And focus there. Spend your time there. That's where leadership needs to show up, is to work on that formula. I thought if it is to be, it's up to me, and that's what I did for 3 years. And then I graduated to, no, I can't do this all the time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to train 10 personally sponsored ninjas. And they're going to know everything. They're going to have answers to everything. They're going to run the meetings. They're going to solve everything. They're going to recruit everybody. It's going to be awesome. And I only had to replace about 1 ninja every week. They just disappeared. So I was in the ninja training business, you know. I needed my own dojo. Bring him in. Okay, you're next. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this stinks. And then I let go of all that stuff and I said, okay, what can we get a big group of people to do consistently, build a culture around it, like any great organization does, like a church has a culture and a military has a culture and, you know, different companies have a culture. Different ethnic groups have a culture around the world. We could build a culture inside of our network marketing business where this is what we do. We get up, we get dressed, and we do this. Whatever that is. Okay. If I focus there, if I start there, then we can really create some duplication. We can create some leverage. Now it's just all about leadership, getting everybody to buy into those few simple things over a consistent period of time. Okay, got it. So, the formula is critical. Everything you do has to be held up against the mirror of that formula. Your ability to get a large group of people to do a few simple things over a consistent period of time. If it doesn't hold up, you don't get to do it. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. I know this guy who owns the bank, and he's going to help this happen, and this guy is friends with the mayor of this, and this guy owns an IndyCar, and you don't know. If you can't get a large group of people to do that over a consistent period of time, the answer is no. Really? You'd walk away from that? I'd run away from that. How about professional athletes? Well, think about these professional athletes. Look, I've met with more professional athletes, and I'm so bored with it, I can't tell you. A bunch of Siamese cats is what they are. I love professional sports, but what I will tell you, what have they been trained to do? Come, put their name on something, take some pictures, endorse something. Now when I meet with athletes, you know what I tell them? I don't care about what you've done. I can respect it, but in my business, I'm the all-star. And if you're willing to work as hard as you worked in order to become a professional in whatever sport that you are in, to become a professional here, now we can talk. But if you're not willing to do that, you know what? You need to go take some pictures someplace. I've had better success with that conversation than, oh my gosh, you're so amazing. You know what I mean? Who cares? You know what I mean? Really. You're a professional athlete at some point. Yeah? So how would you have responded based upon those two conversations? Which one of you would you have respected more? The in-your-face one, yeah? He'd go, okay, this guy's for real. He's not just some fan wanting to get something, a little piece of me. He's letting me know something for real. You want to have something where you can make the same money that you made before, whether you get injured or not? Let's talk. If not, you know, go find your insurance company or whatever happened, you know, whatever you're happening to hang your hat so they can trot you out front. All right. You heard me talk about core. You have to determine what your core activities are for your organization. What are the core activities that you find so important that everyone can do in your organization that you're going to duplicate? Now, I have seen that people have gone too far with core. I've done it before. I think 10 is nobody can remember. If everybody in your group can't rattle off every one of the core items, it's too many. So figure out what really matters and get it down, get it down, get it down, get it simple. This is what we focus on. These three things, these five things, whatever it is. But if everybody in your group can't rattle it off at a moment's notice, you don't have a culture. You just think you do. Core. What are the core activities that you want your group to be known for? Oh, that's a group that does this and this and this really well. Okay, great. Pick the core. System. A system is part of your core. Core feeds the system. A system is when a person comes in, they go do this, and then they get trained here, and then they start this, and then they do their major blast. We talk about a major blast. I'll talk about that in a second, actually. I'll talk about it now. Let me just side note, because I wanted to talk about it before, but I want to talk about it now. Major blast. This is one of the things that has become an incredible... It's really what everybody does that is successful. This concept of a major blast. I used to promote two a day. Two exposures a day. That's what you do. But you know what you really need to do? You know what all the successful people do? When they launch a business, they do a major blast where they just condense everything. And instead of taking 90 days to make 100 phone calls, they do 100 phone calls in 10 days. And they just burst it. And they expose like crazy. And they bring in tons of people. And they have this wave of people come in because of so much enthusiasm and energy and effort. And then they settle in and they support the people through that major blast. Plus they start doing their two-a-day after that. Sometimes if you just do the two-a-day, you never get enough acceleration to get off the ground. So that's one of the things that's in our system that I work with, is major blast. Minimum 100 exposures your first 30 days. Minimum. 100. Quality exposures, like I taught you before. If I would you, compliment, if I would you, follow up the whole thing, 100 of them in your first 30 days. Emotionally detached from the outcome. Okay. Imagine if everybody in your group did that. And then they settled into, you know, the two a day, 10 a week, whatever, regular exposures on top of that. changes everything. Now, the secret is, for the superstars, they do about 2 major blasts a year. The high incomers, they do about 2 major blasts a year. They do a major blast, they settle in. Some of you have plateaued, you've hit a plateau, you want to get out of the plateau, major blast is your answer. You major blast, you get to another altitude, and then you settle in with your daily method of activity. You support everybody, work with everybody, get them going. You know, you got a bunch of preemies in the hospital ward. There's 20 of them in there. Feeding, bathing, you know, burping, the whole deal. And then they all kind of grow up together and they kind of take care of each other and they kind of play with each other and they compete with each other a little bit and they all get a little bit older, taking pictures. Aw, so cute, my little group. Okay, so major blast is a huge concept. I wanted to touch on that quickly. Culture building. Culture building. Culture. Culture. What are you known for? Culture. How many people have been in the military service of any kind? Okay. If you've been in the military is known for a particular culture, yes? So, they do things a certain way. And there's really not very much arguing with that. How about if you said, you went into the military, you said, you know what? I know you guys like this certain way, but I've got some ideas. And I'm a smart guy. I've been around, you know, I've got a little marketing experience. I could help with your brand here inside the Army. How's that going to go? Not very long. They'll break you down so fast, it'd be unbelievable. Because that's their culture. Their culture is. Now, it's evolved over 100 years, a little at a time, but they don't allow radical change. That's not what they do. The culture is everything as you're building a large organization inside of the religious institutions around the world, regardless of which one, if any, that you practice. Is there a certain culture inside of your church, inside of your religious organization? Yes, there's a certain culture. This is how we do things. That's true with organizations inside of network marketing. And the culture is, you're going to be known for a culture whether you like it or not. You could be the party culture. You could be the complainer group. You can decide what you're going to be known for. But leaders create a culture on purpose. They say, my group, this group that I'm affiliated with is going to be known for this. And they just decide what's important. And we're going to be known for it. We're going to be known as we're the fastest growing. When people get into our business, they get going and they qualify in that first month. That's just our culture. That's what we do. When people get involved in our organization, they go to the next major event, no matter what. That's just our culture. That's what they do. Our people sell the product, and they're crazy about our product because that's our culture. That's what we do. Our people edify each other and respect each other in all instances to the rest of the world. That's just our culture. That's what we do. Our group shows up, and they look sharp. They never look shabby. They're on purpose. They're business people. They are impressive. That's just our culture. It's just the way it is. They don't show up half dressed. They're dressed. And the world notices. These people are different. Why is that? That's just their culture. It's what we do. It's who we are. You want to come with us? Guess what happens? You get a suit. You look sharp, starts with one suit. We'll add some shirts, we'll add some ties, and then it'll move to 2 suits. And you're going to look sharp, because that's what we do. Understand? You can have a culture of people who are prepared at all times to do a presentation versus the people who are saying, hey, do you have something? Do you have a brochure? Do you have a CD? Do you have the product? Do you have something? Can I borrow something? That could be your culture. Or it's the culture of we're ready. We're armed. We're ready. We're prepared at all times. It's all a decision. You know when I know a strong culture's come into place? A leader showed up. Leader showed up and made it so. It starts from a decision, and then you drive that culture. And I will tell you, it takes at least a year to drive any element of a culture into permanency inside your group. Whatever you decide to be important, it's going to take a year of pounding on it in order for it to happen. But that's what leaders do. Take a look at every great leader in the world. They had a culture. They protected it aggressively. And they promoted it relentlessly. What are you going to be known for? Next, for leadership, is problem solving. Problem solving. You're going to be known for two things in your network marketing business. The problems you solve or the problems you create. So, problem solving. Here's what amateurs do. They say, I hope this problem gets over with quickly. There's a big distraction in the organization. I hope somebody stops that. Leaders, you'll see the nicest person in the world turn into a killer when a distraction shows up in their group. The nicest person in the world, they're like a mama bear when there's a little cub in danger. They're asking questions later. They're taking action now. Somebody shows up to mess with the group. They come in swinging. We'll figure out if it was innocent later. And I'm not kidding. All problems, we get paid for solving problems, people. Bigger the problem, the bigger the paycheck. And part of the problem in growing a large organization is destroying distractions. Let me give you a good phrase. The best defense is a fast offense. First time it shows its ugly head inside of your group, kill. Does that sound like leadership? It is. You got to protect from all dangers, outside and inside. There's some hard decisions sometimes as leaders. Your job is to solve problems. Your job is to keep people on track. Your job is to protect the culture. Your job is to protect people's minds from distraction. Not to control other people, but to protect other people, like a leader does. Don't think that every leader I mentioned prior didn't have huge distractions come in, like being thrown in jail, like being persecuted beyond your imagination. But what did they do with their culture? They said, no, we're focused here. When they were pushing on Gandhi hard, we got to fight back. No, that's not our culture. We're not going to. Yeah, but they're hurting our people. I know. But we're going to win. There's a promised land and we can get there together and we're going to do it this way. In the face of all the distractions. Okay. We're with you. Problem solving. Next is a vision. You've got to have a vision and the ability to articulate it. Here's where we're going. Here's the promised land. Here's why it's important, and here's why it's important for you, and why we're going to do it together. You've got to have the ability as a leader to articulate a vision that inspires people to action. Don't wait for somebody else to provide the vision. You need to provide the vision for your team. Not only do you have to have the vision, but you have to have the ability to articulate it. There's more visions out there in this room that have never been heard by other people. You have to have the ability to articulate it in a way that causes people to take action. That's your job. Now, I know I'm talking about wild stuff. We were just talking about getting started, this happy stuff just a few minutes ago. And that's all true. But again, this is serious stuff because we're trying to liberate people from unhappiness. We're trying to help people go into a better direction. And guess what needs to happen in order for that to work? We have to provide a culture, and we have to provide a vision, and we have to provide leadership to be able to inspire people to do that. Because without that, they won't be able to hold on and have faith long enough for that faith to turn into hope and that hope to turn into belief. That's what a leader does, is it helps them through the faith and the hope stage until they get to belief. People need to follow you before it's obvious to the rest of the world. I talked about before about being unreasonable. It's one of the number one it's one of the top attributes is being unreasonable. Being a little bit crazy. Being totally wild and unpredictable and over the top. There's a promised land. And we can get there together. That's the message of every leader. And you say, even if I only have one person, or I have nobody in my group, am I going to say that to my prospect? In a matter of speaking, yeah. We can get there together. Let's lock arms and do it. Let's do something. Let's change, because we don't want to live like this anymore. I'll tell you, for me, you hear me talk about defining moments a lot on Network Marketing Pro. These moments when your life changes, when you totally decide that you're not going to live like you're living anymore. And I've had so many defining moments over the course of my career when somebody whispered in my ear, when something happened, when I got disgusted, when something emotional changed me. And I've remembered recently there was one of them. I'd been in the business for about 3 years. And like I told you, I'd rebuilt my organization 7 times and I was living on fumes and had this young family and we were trying to figure it out and we had no money and we're spending every nickel we had trying to grow the business. And back in the day, we were running ads in the paper and people were answering the ads and we were running through all that stuff. And I remember I had a little townhouse in Minneapolis, and the townhouse had 7 levels to it, and there's literally 1 room per level. Okay? So the basement was 1 room, that was the family room. We went up 1 room, that was the kitchen. You went up 1 room, that was the bedroom. We went up 1 room, that was, you know what I mean? It was like this stairway went straight up, this little place. And the kitchen overlooked, there was a little deck, and then that was a tuck-under garage, a single-car garage. And we left there because we ran an ad, and we had a group in Nashville that started and then disappeared. But we ran an ad down there while we were thinking about getting them going, and we got this huge response to the ad. So we said, okay, let's just go down there for 90 days. Let's be outrageous. Let's be crazy. Let's just go. So we packed up the car, and we moved down there. We rented an apartment, you know, living on fumes, and we did meetings, and we got a little something going, not much. And after 90 days, we ended up, because of how the travel, the U-Haul or whatever to get the stuff back had to come back. I came back first, and then my wife at the time was coming back the day after. And while we were gone, my bank accounts got closed. My credit cards got turned off. I was in a low, low place, just struggling, trying to make things happen, you know? And I got home late at night, and I opened up the door to realize that the electricity had been turned off. And you could tell pretty quick it had been turned off for a while. We've been gone 3 months. So it ended up, it had been turned off. It was in the summer. Turned off for a couple weeks. And oh my gosh, the smell was so bad from all the meat that was in the freezer that just went. And I mean, it was on the walls. It was in the floor. It was in the countertops. You could taste it. It was so bad. And my wife, who was pregnant at the time, was coming back home the next day. And I said, I got to clean this up or she's going to have a heart attack. So I called my brother and I said, this is a big one. Can you help me? I got to clean this out. I need the help. I got to do whatever I got to do, fans and filters and anything I got to do in order to be able to get this thing kind of reasonable. And I remember we walked it, the stuff. I just said, 1, 2, 3, ready, go. Opened up the freezer and started grabbing the stuff and bringing it across the patio thing and then dumping it down into the garbage bins that was down in the garage. And gagging as we did it because it was so bad. And I remember halfway through, I said, you know what? I've had it. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm done. I've been an amateur for too long. I've been a poser. I've been looking for shortcuts. I've been looking for a better way out. I've been looking for anything but me doing what I need to do in order to be able to be what I'm supposed to be in this world. And this is not what I'm supposed to be. And I said, you know what? Smell this smell so you remember. And I burned it into my brain and I can smell it today. Look at this sight, this darkened house, so you remember that this is not what you're meant for, not to live like this. And I decided that day, I'm going to become a professional. I'm going to learn this thing. I'm not looking for freebies. I'm looking for handouts. And I'm done hustling. I'm going to start becoming something of value so I can build an organization and do something meaningful with my life. And I said, okay, that's the day. And we did clean it out. We moved forward with our lives. And that was the day. And I'll tell you, that was my third year. My fourth year, I made $250,000 in the business. In my seventh year, I made $980,000 when I was 29. Spent it all, every penny. We deserved it. After the turned off the electricity thing, you know, you had to have a new pool and all kinds of stuff. And I started this profession of investing life into life and helping people see a vision of something that they couldn't see for themselves. And it's been the most unbelievably rewarding thing for me. And I've had many of those defining moments over the years. I've had a dozen or more of that impactful. Someday I'll share them with you. But what I hope for you, I hope that you find a defining moment in you that says, you know what? I've got a framework here. I'm going to develop some skills now. And it's not about getting lucky. It's about being better. I don't need my upline. I don't need my downline. I don't need anything but my determination and my willingness to make something happen. If somebody else can do it, I'm going to find out what they did. And I'm going to learn it and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to get the results and I'm going to live the life that I deserve. For me, that was a day that turned my life around. I don't know what that day looks like for you. If you've already had it or if it's coming your way, I don't know. I do know this. For a few people, today was one of those days. For a few people in this room said, okay. Not that you know, some of you have been real quiet, but inside you've been saying, my turn. It's other people's turns before this, but it's my turn now. They don't know me today. Nobody knows my name, but they're going to know my name very soon. Here's what I'm going to ask you. I want you to promise me one thing. as you've gotten this information today, as you've been here plugged in with me as we've gone through this adventure, I want you to promise me one thing, that you'll pass this on. That you take all this information, you'll adapt what you want to adapt into your business, and you'll pass it on. You'll become another ambassador for this great profession. You'll build an organization that everybody in the world will be proud of. That you take this information, make it your own, internalize it, and pass it on. So, to my incredible friends, my wish for all of you is that you decide to become a network marketing professional, that you decide to go pro. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is a stone cold fact that we have a better way. Now let's go tell the world. Everybody, thank you very much. Love you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Eric Worre's GoPro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional audio album. For more business building resources, visit networkmarketingpro.com. This audio recording is copyright protected through U.S. and international laws. No portion may be reproduced, duplicated, or distributed in any form. Thank you.